Blog Talk Radio.
It's good to have you with us tonight, Blog Talk Radio. It's always good to have all y'all from around the world join with us here and celebrate Jesus being Lord, celebrate the life of faith. That's what we really are celebrating here, is the life of faith and the message of faith. All right, then. And so from wherever you are around the world, we say welcome, 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 welcome to you. And let's see here. Got to get another link in here. Come on. You're the internet. You have to work. In the mighty name of Jesus. Tonight, we are going to be studying the same thing we were studying last night. It's just tonight, we're going to get a couple more chapters in. Good evening to all of you on Blog Talk Radio and YouTube. We've got the rest of the family with us now. It's always good to have you with us. And thank you for your faith. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your love. Thank you for being here. I think this is one of those places in the kingdom where people sow on a daily basis. And I'm going to tell you right now, because you do, God Almighty has a rich, abundant blessing that is coming your way right now today. And you know what's interesting is when you get to be the soil that people sow their seed in, that's a interesting place to be in the kingdom. And not every ministry gets to be that place for people, but you know, you and I do get to be that, because a long time ago we said we're going to reach out and bless people's lives no matter what. And we saw how valuable this was to people to have a place to worship God, study the word, and get together as a family. And then lo and behold, look what God has done right here for you and I, and built this amazing family. Now, as you can tell, I'm still got some clicking going on here. It's very interesting how this thing works, because you would think that just because we were there once, it'd make it real easy to continually be there all the time. But we just keep doing the work that God's given us to do. One more thing. There we go. YouTube is up and has a greeting. Blog Talk Radio is up. If you don't know, I haven't done this in a while. Might as well do it again. You can dial this number and you'll be able to dial right into Blog Talk Radio and be a part of this program. And what you actually hear is you hear me talking just like I am here. It's just you don't see any audio. And many times if you're in a situation where your signal may not be good, power went out, something like that, driving down the road, you can connect to Blog Talk Radio by just dialing that number and be a part of the program. If you want to ask a question or say something, click the one button and that raises your hand. And the host here has that ability to see that and welcome you to be a part of the program. Welcome to everybody that is here tonight. Now, I encourage you to consider over the next couple weeks to fast with us. Now, every time you say that, it makes you get real hungry. Well, some people say that. As soon as the pastor says fast, I am ready for a feast. But I want to encourage you throughout these next 2 weeks to, in your own heart, between you and God, consider setting some time aside to fast and pray about the election. Now, I'm sure many of you have seen the news that one of the major Democratic leaders 2 days ago decided to leave the Democratic Party. That is a huge, huge, huge answer to our prayers right here. And what's awesome about this lady, Tulsi Gabbard, is she not only left, she left and shot a really good shot across the bow of the Democratic Party. I saw today there was another Democrat that left today. And I also saw that a pretty major Hollywood actor also said, that's it. I'm done with you guys, not having anything more to do with it. I'm going to welcome myself into the Republicans. Not that they don't have some scandal themselves, but at least they still believe in God. This is what he said. At least they still believe in God and family values, and that's what I must have for me and my family. So I, which is a proof of you and me and our prayers, because we're not praying for everybody to be destroyed anymore. I'm sure there was a time that that was my prayers. May all the workers of iniquity just be destroyed. But that's not what God says, because according to the book of Psalms and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, God doesn't get any blessing in the death of the wicked, because then they have to go and burn in the devil's hell, and that he gets no glory. So God wants to do everything he can in his power to help people turn and change from wicked ways, if they're wicked, or just deception, just not knowing what wickedness truly stands for. And so I encourage you. This morning, Sister Leanne and I just about simultaneously turned to each other and said, I believe I'm going to fast. We got on the program. Others were fasting. I talked to somebody else today. They said they're fasting. And so I just encourage you to begin to say, Father, what would you have me do? And, you know, there's a lot of different fasts that people do. You know, it's too late to do a 40-day fast before the election, because we're only about 2.5 weeks out, or what, 20 days out from the election. But you can do a Daniel fast, which is 14 days, no sweets, no meat, no pleasant bread. That's a good fast to do. But most of all, don't just starve yourself. The point of this is to fast and pray and speak the word of God so that things will truly change, and we'll see God make a mighty move this election. May we paint the United States of America red, not as a Republican, but as the blood of Jesus that speaks a better word, and crush forever the God of Baal from our nation, so that it never returns to any power and authority again. May these wicked purveyors of perversion be exposed and be destroyed. And if you were with us today on the morning prayer, I read a letter from the archbishops of Colorado. Three of the archbishops of Colorado, or one archbishop and other bishops. I'm not sure how that all works, but there's three of them. with the title of bishop. And they were very specifically rebuking the politicians in Colorado that had voted for that wicked bill that Colorado put through in May before the overturn by the Supreme Court. And a powerful statement telling the politicians that until public repentance and sacramental absolution or something happens, you will not be allowed to receive communion. Please refrain from receiving the communion, the body of Christ, because this egregious sin has released you, has removed you from the body of Christ. Catholic priests saying it. And thank God that they were bold enough to stand up on that one issue of abortion. Now, probably this whole election will be slated as an election that is focused on and focused for and against abortion. And you and I can stand fast. Now, if you were with us today for the worship time, we had the Communion Colorado on again today from Lou Engel's big communion service on Saturday. And then tomorrow, we will actually receive the communion elements on our worship time with all those people, with thousands of people there. So I encourage you to make sure tomorrow that you focus some time so you can be with us from 5 till about 6:15. And it's an amazing communion service in a different manner than what we receive it, but it's wonderful. It's Anglican, led by an Anglican and a Messianic Jew who has given their life to Jesus. And you will thoroughly enjoy this time tomorrow as we receive communion together. There'll be a period of worship, and then they'll begin, and it'll take the whole hour and 15 minutes to do this worship or this communion service. It's really, I mean, when you look at that video we've been playing the last couple of days, it literally is a 7-hour communion service. 7 hours from the very start to the very end. It's 7 hours long and filled with great power and strength. It should be one of these videos that you earmark, that you like, that you find a way to download it on your computer. Go to iTunes if it's there. I don't know if it's going to be available on iTunes, but this is what we know. It's going to be a powerful time. Yes, thank you. 6 to 7:15 Eastern time, 5 to 6:15 Central. Thank you, Dan, for pointing that out. I appreciate that, brother. Because that is always a deal for people. Our normal worship time every afternoon, whatever that time is in your time zone, we want you to join with us. I thank you so much for saying that, Dan, because that always helps to alleviate some of that confusion that we can get in there with the different time zones. And those of you in Mountain, 4. Those of you in Pacific, 3. Those of you in the Pacific, I don't know. Just we're glad to have you with us. So I encourage you, fast with us. And your fast, you and God talk about your fast. You might fast 3 days of everything and then fast your sweets or something. Today, I just fasted everything except my drinks. I just said, God, I'm fasting. Now, I don't know how long or how much or what I'm going to do, but today I just set this day aside to fast and be with you and be focused on this. Get an understanding of what's got to happen over the next 60 days of my life. This is a very busy time for me and the ministry. So what are we doing for the next 60, 70 days, Lord? Help us see it. And help us end this year in great strength and in great power. And then charge into 2023 filled with the powerful anointing of the Holy Spirit. And may this last 70 days of this year be the most triumphant fall season, fall and holiday season you've ever known in the history of your life. Now, I've seen a lot of wonderful Thanksgiving and Christmases as I grew up, but may this be one of the most powerful times that you've ever seen. And may we see people that have been blinded by the confusion in mass exodus leave the confusion of the Democratic Party. I don't have a problem saying their name, because about 10 years ago, they voted to remove God from their platform. And when you do that, you heap up to yourself many sorrows. And I'm just telling you, don't be a part of those who deny God. No matter what it used to be, don't be around those who deny God. If you hang out with God deniers, you're going to be one of them. And the Holy Spirit will lead you away from them, but you got to be willing to move on and say, we better do something else. It's not just politics. That's church. That's churchianity. Hang out with friends at the local bar or bowling alley. It is all of the above. Learning to get yourself with the body of Christ so that we can go into this world and help the people who truly want to know who God is in their life. We got to help them. There's no use in trying to help somebody that doesn't want God. Don't waste your time. And anyway, it's just ain't worth it. They don't want God, quit trying to make them. And usually when you and I back off, it truly helps other people find God. Now, let's just pray in the Holy Spirit for a minute. Father, in the name of Jesus, we need your wisdom for this time of ministry tonight. And according to the word of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in the spirit, we speak the hidden wisdom of God ordained for our glory right here, right now, tonight. So we just pray together in the spirit. Shona malakitita mano. Ando seto ralama sinemaneke bidibala seto makuta mata. Nasht tegavala sineromunde. Keda balasideva, dust feda balande de sikati, bostra ralabada, anamendolo bras in evitike, andala sitabedondeva, and bolavare basindica. Have your way here tonight. We build ourselves up in our most holy faith. Shode bankala, ende de bala sinemanundi, pati shiva la rakati di undima. Ande salaba da senda, anima nonde, lora sava da banduma, keso balava dide, abasandama, bando le sede vide baribadaka, ando lo sodeba, endere bando, brashendida balakati, enda balava sidebe, in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Well, I was praying because, you know, we just want to flow in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake and do exactly what he gives us to do. And I am learning, and I hope that it's a focus of yours, that we would truly learn to only do what we see Jesus do, and only say what we see him say. May God help us that we learn to watch our words and be careful what we're doing. You know, when we were kids, it was like, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little feet, where you go. And those kind of things like that. But more and more, every single day, it truly is of the most absolute importance that you and I are truly walking in that place where God wants you and I to be. And, you know, therefore, that's why we have the prayer of the Holy Ghost, because that prayer takes us in to the Holy of Holies, gives us the ability to pray in a manner that goes way beyond our human abilities and our human ways. It helps us be very, very stable and faithful in the things of God. And, you know, I like having the ability to pray past what the enemy can do. Enemy cannot stop you and I. It cannot stop you and I in any sense of the word. It cannot. It just can't do it. And there's the other thing I knew we needed to do tonight, is to pray for my dear friend James Denny Jr.'s family. I found out today, this afternoon, what actually happened. He was riding on his mower, and somehow the mower flipped over and landed on top of him and crushed him. And Brother James was a part of our program. He came on here regularly, and so let's pray for Brother James, his family, now as they're there. You know, I have heard the Father say at times to me, all that person needs in heaven sometimes is somebody on earth saying, get back here. And so, Brother James, if that's what we've got to do tonight is say, Brother James, get back here. We are the people on this earth that are saying, James Denny Jr., come on back and be here with us. Now, you know, some people will be like, well, Pastor, do you really think that's an important thing to say? Well, yeah, because if that's all they need is someone to say, Lazarus, come forth, Lazarus, come forth. Because now the sorrow and the sadness and the mourning goes away. Let's bless this family. Father, in Jesus' name, we bless the family of James Denny Jr., our brother, who was with us many times on this program and studied with us and fellowshiped with us. And now he's with you. And as everybody said, gone way too early. Now, Lord, his family, help them to find faith and to find hope in you and to find answers and in their life right now. Help them find those answers. And may James's life as a wonderful giving man, may his life be the example that every one of these people can now walk in the example of their brother James, however they knew him, as dad or grandpa or father-in-law or brother, fellow milk truck driver, businessman. In the mighty name of Jesus, we bless this whole situation. You said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. We speak this now in the name of Jesus. And as you taught us, Jesus, we speak life and life more abundantly into this family right now in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Juliana, welcome, young lady. Glad to have you with us tonight, right here on the Community of Faith. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. And wherever you're streaming in the world, it's always good to see you. Now, I think we're going to just go right ahead and get started tonight, right now, and come and join us tomorrow morning. We're going to pray all the prayers of faith that we normally pray. And I really see the importance of us entering in and coming to an understanding of exactly what the Word of God says. So let me write down my time stamp here. And let's get into the Word of God for this evening. Now, I want to read our foundation verses again that we've been reading. And then we're going to go back and read Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 7, and Romans chapter 8. Now, in the book of Romans, we find, I think it was 39 times that the, let me just pull that up and see, so I'm making that statement right. 36 times in the book of Romans, the word righteousness is used. Well, out of 90 times in the whole Old Testament, third of it is in the book of Romans. So we might as well come to the book of Romans and just see exactly what it is that God says about righteousness right out of the book of Romans. Just read it. Let Paul do the talking by the Holy Spirit. So tonight's title is Righteousness in the book of Romans. And then tonight is Freedom from the Law of Sin and Death, part two, freedom from the law of sin and death. Now, we're going to see that in the book of Romans chapter 8. Paul said, we have been set free from the law of sin, which produces death. It is a law that's on the face of this earth. Can't get away from it. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. No preacher has the permission from God to tell you that that verse isn't true. That was written by the Holy Spirit of God. And so we're going to study that tonight right now. Let's hold our Bibles up and we'll make our confession as we would normally make right here. I don't have it shareable right now, so just say it with me. This is my Bible. I believe what God's word says. Brother Robert, or Roger and Rebecca, you guys can say it out loud if you want. I am what Jesus says I am.
I'm what Jesus says I am.
Because he is the great I am.
Because he is the great I am.
The Holy Spirit of God, my resident teacher.
The Holy Spirit God, my resident teacher.
Is making his word come alive.
Is making his word come alive.
In my life tonight.
In my life tonight.
In my life tonight.
I receive the word of God.
I receive the word of God.
And plant him as a seed.
And plant him as a seed.
In the good soil of my heart.
In the good soil of my heart.
Producing a hundredfold return and more.
Producing a hundredfold return and more.
In my spirit, soul, and body.
In my spirit, soul, and body.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Now, this is interesting. Amen. Amen. Thank you. That's so interesting. Brother Dan, first time you spoke, it went real slow. The next time you spoke, it went real fast. So if some of you are like, what is that? Ah, that's just the internet. That's just the joy of being on the internet in Jesus' mighty name. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Now, let's get our foundation verses that we've been reading all the way through this study. The first one is 1 Corinthians 15, 33 and 34. Now, Juliana, you're the only one I can see there tonight. So if you want to put in some verses, you can write that reference in for us if you want. That's up to you. You don't have to, but you're welcome to. And I know Sister Rebecca will be doing it over here in the Zoom. And those of you that's on Talk Radio, you'll have to do it yourself. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 and 34. The Apostle Paul is teaching us about this. Do not be deceived. Evil companions or evil company corrupts good behavior. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to their shame. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to their shame. Paul is teaching about righteousness. That was Paul's number one message. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Our next set of verses is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21. Brother Dan, thank you, sir. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21, and we'll read verses 17 and 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new. Verse 21. For he, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. And really, the sin sacrifice for us. That we might become the righteousness of God in him, that we might become, we are made into the righteousness of God in Jesus. Romans chapter 10, verse number 8 through 13. Romans 10, 8 through 13. Our foundation verses for this series on righteousness. Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 13. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. I didn't go back far enough there, did I? Romans 10 must be starting at verse 6. Yes. Yeah. Not sure why that's not in there. Well, everybody just pause a second. We're going to correct the notes here because don't know what that's all about. Romans 10, verse 6. But the righteousness of faith speaks this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven to bring Christ down? Do not say, or who will descend into the abyss to bring him up? But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You confess the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. And when you believe and receive, you receive the righteousness of God. Now, next set of foundation verses is Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 through 29. Colossians 1, 24 through 29. You may not have been catching these in every one of our sessions, but we've been reading these verses over and over. Colossians 1, 24 through 29. And I'm going to read verse 27. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's a mystery. What is this? God willed to make known to all of us what are the riches of the glory of this ministry among the Gentiles. And what is it? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus comes to live within you, and he is in you. And that's the hope of glory, and that's the riches of the glory. And God determined to make that known to you and to me. Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 through 29 is the whole process, and verse 27 is the one that we read. Now, three more verses of our foundation, and then we'll be getting into the verses. Watch this. 1 John 3, verses 3, 6, and 9. Interesting how they're all three verses apart. 1 John 3, 3, 6, and 9. 1 John 3, 3, 6, and 9. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Verse 6, whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Now, I'm going to remind you. Yes, I am teaching to you a doctrine most preachers would never preach, even though they probably believe it, because it goes against such a large amount of teaching of our day. Verse 6, whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins neither sees him nor knows him. Verse 9, whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Now, there's a whole lot of people that right here just say, I don't know where this guy's coming from. We got to get out away from him. Don't turn me off. Listen, take notes, and study. I think I better add one more set of verses so that we cover everything and nobody freaks out. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. 1 John 2, 1 and 2. These are foundation verses of the Bible. My little children, I write to you these things so that you may not sin. I write these things so you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. There's your righteousness word. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the whole world. I write to you, look at what it says, so that you do not sin. And if you do sin, if, not when, if you sin, you have Jesus Christ, the righteous, is the one that helps you get back. He is the price. Jesus Christ, the righteous. His righteousness is what you're made into, and that's what we're studying. Now, I want to encourage you because I had somebody say to me, since I've been teaching this, Pastor, this seems so foreign to me. Why do I not see this like you do? Well, for so long, the church has not preached these verses and has not preached the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, because if they teach you to be righteous, they don't have any way to manipulate or control you. Because they have to teach you to be connected to God Almighty, not them. But I got a word for you. When you stand in front of Jesus, you are not going to be standing in front of me. You're going to be standing in front of him. I will give an account of how I led you, but you're not going to be judged by me. You are going to be judged by Jesus, and you're going to be judged by his righteousness. So it doesn't do me any good to teach you a doctrine that makes you dependent on me. I can't do that. Because now I've given you a human dependency instead of a supernatural God dependency. God our Father is seeking worshipers. He's seeking worshipers, those who will walk with him every day. You don't need to seek to walk with me every day. Those of you who are a part of this ministry, and this is your church, you will be with me every day or almost every day. But it's not because you have to have me or you can't make it in your spiritual life. John is writing by the Holy Spirit and says to them, my little children. In other words, they were birthed of his ministry. I'm writing these things to you so you don't sin. And if you do, before you get this revelation, if you should happen to sin, Jesus Christ the righteous is your answer. And, of course, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, we know if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But as your pastor, I got to teach you, you've been made a new creation. All that old stuff has passed away. Quit worrying about it. Quit glorying in it. Quit magnifying it. Quit being worried about it. Quit glorying in it. Quit magnifying it. Just let the dead past be dead. And let Jesus purge it by his blood once and for all, so that you will, it'll no longer have any dominion over you at all. Jesus gave you his righteousness that he paid the price for and was holy, that he received from the Father. And Jesus took it, perfected it, worked out his salvation with fear and trembling. And in so doing, hands it now to you, installs it in your life he screws it in there and it's, bam, it's installed inside of your life, his righteousness. And then that righteousness begins to speak. And according to Psalm 23, verse 3, he leads you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads you. God, he leads you in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And that's what we're doing right here tonight. Now, let me add another verse here. I'm being led by the Holy Spirit. Let me add another verse here to our foundation's verses. Give me a second here. Hebrews chapter 8, verse number 6. Hebrews 8, verse 6. I'm being led right now by the Holy Spirit, so I'm just looking at this chapter. Six, and then 12 and 13. Hebrews 8, 6, Hebrews chapter 8, verses 6 and 12 and 13. Good job, Rebecca. You got it. Amen. You know, it's easy for me to say it, and I've learned to slow down so the guys that's putting the verses in can get it. You're doing good, both of you, Dan and Rebecca. Thank you. I truly appreciate it. Now watch this. Hebrews 8, 6. But now he, that's Jesus, has obtained a more excellent ministry. And Hebrews 8 is talking about the high priest. Inasmuch as he also is the mediator of a better covenant, which is established on better promises. Jesus has obtained a more excellent ministry than the priest of old because he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. So say it with me. We have a better covenant and better promises. Brother Roger, you're my man. Better covenant and better promises.
A great amen.
Amen. We have a better covenant and better promises.
Better covenant and better promises.
Amen. Came through Jesus. So our covenant is different. Now look at verse 12. 12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds no more. God said, I'll be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. In that, he says, a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. Now, what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. We got a new covenant. It's based in better promises. It's a better covenant and better promises. And God said, I will not hold their sins against them. And that old covenant passed away. Now, go with me to Hebrews 9. We're just following the Holy Spirit here. And let's read Hebrews 9, 7. And we're going to go, actually, 6 through 22. Hebrews 9, 6 through 22. I'm not going to read all those verses because I got all my other verses to read. But that's the reference point, and I want that in there so that anybody that's looking can study those verses and see that whole reference point. Hebrews 9, 6 through 22. Now, I'm going to read verse 7, my first verse. Into the second part, the high priest went alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance. So the high priest went once a year. The high priest went into Holy Holy once a year. Now, so you can read all the rest of that. Now, verse 11. Christ came as a high priest of the good things to come, the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Verse 12 is a very, very, very important verse in our life. Not with the blood of bulls, goats, and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. I'll read it again. Not with the blood of bulls and goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, they never were made completely one with God. It just covered them and covered their flesh. Look at 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, look at this, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. How much more shall the blood of Christ cleanse, and literally that word actually means purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Verse 22, and according to the law, almost all things are purified with the blood. That's the law. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So you got to have blood, but when you look at verse 12, Jesus once and for all shed his blood, and when he did, He purged our lives. He purged our lives from all of that sin. You want to say it with me? My life has been purged of sin.
My life has been purged of sin. Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name. Now, looks like Brother Dan fell off the hay wagon. So as soon as he gets back in, somebody throw a strap around him. Hey, it's the fall season. It's hay wagon. It's hayride time. So. Sister Sunday's always getting kicked off, but we don't want any of you kicked off in any sense of the word. So tonight, by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, we've read the verses out of Hebrews that shows you we have a better covenant, better promises because of the blood of Jesus. And the first one is made obsolete. God said, I will not remember your sins and your wicked deeds against you. I choose not to remember them. And then in Hebrews chapter 9, we read that it's not with the blood of bulls and goats, but his own blood, once and for all. Jesus paid the price for you and I. As soon as his blood washed you and made you white as snow, you get the righteousness, because there's no other way for you to be holy and righteous except through Jesus' righteousness. And he installs that righteousness on the inside of you. Now, let's go to Romans chapter 5. Now, I know that to some of you last night, it was like, wow, this is a lot of reading, Pastor, and these verses are all new to me. Well, I know, and that's why the Holy Spirit is having me do it this way, because so many of us have never once ever out loud to ourselves read these verses. And it's important that we hear it out loud and begin to become accustomed to it. In all reality, Hebrews chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 should be the very foundation of our Christian life. It should be the most solid, stable part of our life. And really, the most important thing that people know about these four chapters, or six chapters, is Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's the most recognized verses of all of these in the body of Christ today. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And yet, Romans chapter 5, five times says that we have received the free gift of grace, the free gift of righteousness. And that should be the most important verses of your Christian life. You should know those verses as much as you know Romans 3:23. So here we go. We're going to back up and read Romans 5. And then we're going all the way through to Romans chapter 8. Now, hang on. It's going to be enjoyable. Get you a good cup of cider, heat it up, and get you a big cider donut, and have donuts and cider with us, unless you're fasting, and then, you know, chew on a carrot or something. I'm fasting, so I'll drink my big cup right here. Here we go. Romans chapter 5. So it begins with a therefore. And what do you do when you see a therefore? You find out what it's there for. All right, evening Sunday. Good to have you with us tonight. Chapter 4 of Romans talks about the fact that Abraham was justified by faith. All right? So that's what Romans 4 is. And then Paul says, therefore, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Therefore, having been justified by faith, the word justified means just as if I never sinned. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. We have access by faith into grace in which we stand. Where does that grace come from? It comes from God. It comes from the righteousness that Jesus paid his whole life for and made sure the last word he said before he died was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, so that he could enter hell sin-free and crush the devil. Access by grace, in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Verse 3, not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance character, character hope, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now, I want you to think about this. I'll have you guys add this reference. I'm not going to turn there because I'll just go preach it. But Matthew chapter 13 is the story of the parable of the sower. And Jesus said that's the most important parable there is. In that explanation of it, he says that persecution comes for the word. The word builds faith. Faith comes by hearing, so faith begins to be built. Well, then persecution begins to come to you because our enemy does not want that faith to be able to take root in your heart, and you begin to pulverize his kingdom. If you have poverty spirit that just plagues you, you've got to get powerful in faith so you can pulverize that demon. If you have a spirit of infirmity in your family, on one of your family members, in your own life, you got to get powerful enough in the realm of the spirit by the word of God, and you crush that thing every day with the word of God and prayer and faith. So no matter what it is, that's how you do it. And when the enemy sees that faith being established, he begins to shoot fiery darts at you. Many people say, well, you wouldn't have that temptation if it wasn't still in your heart. That is not true. That is our enemy shooting at you a fiery dart after you've been made the righteousness of God, a new creation. Old things passed away. All things become new. You have been made the seed of Almighty God, adopted into the family of God. That nature is not yours anymore. So as an enemy shooting a pitcher at you to get you to stop going where you're going and turn and go that direction and begin to go down the road of condemnation. If you will hold on to this word, when those fiery darts come, that's the tribulation you see in verse 3. That comes from the enemy. And when you endure, you build perseverance. And perseverance also builds character, causes you to grab some more verses and build them into your infrastructure and your foundation. Character produces hope, and hope doesn't make ashamed. There's a lot of people that believe that Jesus puts all this stuff on you. He does not. He doesn't have it in him to put on you. In him is life, and life more abundantly. It's all he can put on you. It's all he can put on you. And so the bottom line is, when Those fiery darts come. Call them what they are, a fiery dart. Don't take them as they're part of your life. Resist them because you have the righteousness of God and have literally have received the very nature of Almighty God, according to 1 John chapter 3. Here we go. Verse 6. Strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Perhaps for a good man, someone might dare to die. God demonstrated his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Don't miss verse 9. Matter of fact, circle it. How much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we will be saved from wrath through him. Yes, you're saved, but the Holy Spirit said, how much more will you be saved? Because you received it. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Look at it. Here it comes again. How much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Because of the blood of Jesus, you and I have been reconciled to the Father. Reconciled. Want to say it with me? Say it. Click your mics, guys. Say, I have been reconciled to the Father. Those of you guys that are on Zoom, I keep getting a lot of background noise from something, so I'm having to mute the mic on my end, but don't worry about it. I just, that helps me be able to control the sound I get on this end, and you're more than welcome to turn your mic back on, shout hallelujah or glory or any of the rest of it. I just have to make sure on my end I keep it muted every now and then. Here we go. Let's keep reading. Verse number 12. Now, 12 through 21 is where we're going to see five times that God, by the Holy Spirit, tells us that this is a free gift of grace and righteousness. Let's read it. Therefore, just as through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Why? They don't know. 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. Adam sinned, sin entered, and sin and death reigned. Now, 15. I love these verses. Get them. But the free gift is not like the offense. I just glory, hallelujah. For if by one man's offense many died, how much more the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. How much more, because Jesus was holy and did not sin and could hand us his righteousness and make us into his righteousness. How much more? Because we receive it. Ready? Say it with me. I receive the free gift of righteousness. Verse 16. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. I love this. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. Just as if I never sinned. One man sinned, everybody sinned. One man's righteousness, we're all justified if we receive it. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, here we go again, how much more those who receive the abundance of grace, the abundance of grace, not a little dabble, do you? The abundance of grace and of the free gift of righteousness, they will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Not in heaven. You'll reign right here on this earth. That's why the first time Phyllis said, can I read Revelation 1, 5, and 6? I'm like, yeah. Add that to it every single night because it tells us that you and I have been made kings and priests unto our God. When you receive that free gift of righteousness, when you receive that, it gives you the ability to reign in life. What? You don't have any fear. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. What do you want me to go do, Father? Bam, go get it done. Why? Nothing can stop you. Nothing can stop you because you are a king and a priest unto our God and Father because of the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. 18. Therefore, as though one man's, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. One man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. The only thing you got to do is receive it. 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many, look what it says, will be made righteous. Now, I recommend to you that right there by that last phrase, that you put in there 2 Corinthians and then put 5 and then put verse number 23, because that's the verse that makes that, or 21, not 23, 21, 2 Corinthians 5, 21. That's where it says you'll be made into the righteousness of God. So here it is over here in Romans chapter 5, verse 19. Now, I'm going over here to 2 Corinthians 5, 21, and I'm going to write it in here. Romans 5, 19. And what does that do? That reminds me that I'm going to have both those verses on both sides. So the next time I'm studying it, I get to see Romans 5, 19 and 2 Corinthians 5, 21 together, because those two verses go hand in hand with each other. I'm going to read 19 again. For as by one man's sin, one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So it doesn't matter how much sin is in your life. God doesn't even care what your sins are. Once you come to him and say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin, it does not matter to God what your sins were, and he would appreciate it if you would never bring them up again, because that is not who you are anymore. The moment you say, I received you, Jesus, they're washed away. They're thrown into the sea of his forgetfulness, never to be remembered anymore. And the next step you got to do is receive the restoration of Almighty God that says, I will restore to you the years the locusts have eaten from your life. I had one man tell me how bad he was, how many years he spent in prison. And the next time I saw him, he told me how bad he was and how many years he spent in prison. And the next time he saw me, he told me how bad he was and how many years he spent in prison. And I said to him, brother, do you not realize I don't need to know that about you? And neither does anybody else. And he just looked at me. He said, you really don't believe I was that bad of a person, do you? I said, it doesn't matter if you were that bad of a person. What do you want, that sin or Jesus' righteousness? Do you want to be bound by that and be that person continually? Or do you want to have the joy of the Lord, which is your strength? Well, he said, you don't believe I was that bad. I said, so I got a question. Do you want me to believe how bad you were? Or do you want me to listen to how bad you were? And if you do, why do you want to tell me about how bad you were? That really doesn't matter to me. I don't really don't care how bad you were. And he was offended at me that I didn't care about how bad he was. Well, the bottom line, guys, is when you come to Jesus, what difference does all that stuff make? And why do you want to tell everybody about it? Because they're not going to know you as that person. They're only going to know you as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, your testimony is your testimony. There ain't nothing wrong with telling your testimony, but the testimony is not there to make you look like you was one big bad dude. That testimony was, yeah, I was in prison, but by Jesus' blood and righteousness, it's all washed away, and it has no ability to follow me. Don't you want your sins all washed away? Guys, when you and I come to God and we tell everybody all the time about how bad our sins are, then they feel like they're going to have to say how bad their sins were, and they're not going to want to be around us because they're going to judge you and I by that factor. And they're going to be like, well, that guy don't have a problem talking about why he went to prison, but I don't want to talk about what I did. And Jesus don't want you talking about what you did. He wants you talking about how wonderful his righteousness is and how clean, how much he's cleaned you up. It's all right. We're setting it in order. And we're going to keep plowing this ground until it's all plowed up. Here we go. I'm in 21. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 5, five times says the free gift of righteousness. Now, here we go in chapter 6, and we're going to get all the way to chapter 8 tonight, so I got to get focused and get a reading. It's just, it's such an enjoyable experience to be able to break forth the bread of life to each of you and to continually break this down and make it real. Chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer therein? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death, went down under the water, raised up. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. You're raised from the dead. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer live, be slaves to sin. You went down in baptism. You died. The old man died. You were raised to a new life in Christ. Verse 7, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, this is where Georgian Banoff made that statement. If death is the only time you can truly be free from sin, death is your Savior, not Jesus. Now, there's a bunch of people that's wanting to throw something at me. No, just listen to it. It's not any of any of you folks that are our brothers and sisters. You've been on this revelation a long time. Somebody down the road here is listening to me. Now get what I just said. If you can't be free from sin on this earth because of what Jesus did, and the only time you're truly free from sin is when you've died and gone to heaven, then death is your Savior, not Jesus. You see, people, sign of the cross. Wait, the number one characteristic of a successful, productive Christian is a teachable spirit. On nights like tonight and the last 10 nights, when we're just grinding this thing out, tilling up that hard packed down ground, making it soft and fertile and able to receive a seed, you got to look at this thing when it says, wow, that's true, and then claim it, write it down, and begin to speak it. It's the only way that you break up that fallow ground of your life. The reason this feels like hard plowing is you've heard a doctrine so long that's beat this ground down, and now we found out the doctrine's not true. I got to come in here with the big 18-wheel, four-wheel drive Steiger John Deere tractor with 1,500 horsepower and till up this ground. Burn some serious fuel of the Holy Spirit and get it dug up so that this can be fertile soil and receive this seed of the Word of God. I'm in verse 6 and 7. Knowing this, our old man was crucified with him. The body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now he's raised up. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe we'll also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion on him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. He died that death so that you and I on this earth could die to that sin. A sin be dead. And that's why 1 John chapter 3 says, we don't sin, his seed's in us. We no longer have that seed. We're a new creation, buried with him in baptism, raised to the newness of life. Woo! 10, the death that he died to sin once and for all. The life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's Paul telling you, reckon yourself dead to sin. By the, that's not Paul. This is the Holy Spirit saying to you and me, reckon ourselves to be dead to sin. Verse 12, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. It's coming as a fiery dart. But you, that nature is dead. It's dead. It's dead. It's washed away. You have the righteousness of God now. And I know, they're like, woo! Pastor, I don't yet. Well, I know, but it's only because of revelation. And the actuality of being born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, yes, you are dead. Now we got to fix a cabeza. We got to renew this mind to this word of God. To many of you, the best thing you could do right now this week is every day read Romans chapter 2, 3, and 4. You might even go all the way back to 1. Read Romans chapter 1 through 8 out loud as often as you can read it. Why? Because the more you read it out loud and your ears hear it and your eyes see it and you hold the Bible in your hand, the more it goes down in here. And this word, the word of God, becomes the foundation for your doctrinal stance on sin, not what Brother So-and-so said and Brother Big Bucks and Sister Loud and Sister Fancy and Apostle So-and-so and Prophet Somebody. This book is what you'll be judged by on Judgment Day. 36 times in the book of Romans, it says the word righteousness. You better open up this book of Romans and read those 36 times and figure out what it says. The Holy Spirit's inside of you. He's going to help you see it. Stop resisting the process and say, I receive it. Now, I don't know who I just said that to, stop resisting the process. I'm not saying that to everybody that's here, because all y'all that's with me every night, you're not resisting the process. Somebody needed to hear that. Don't be resistant to the process of coming to the knowledge of the truth. What is it? Read the Bible.
Sam,
go ahead.
Sam, can you turn your volume up? Your voice went real low.
I'm max to the max, but thanks for saying it.
Okay.
I'll slow down and talk more loudly. But it might have been because your phone was dinging, blinging, vibrating, or phone ringing, because that always mutes the mic too. But it might not have been. It might just be me. I'm fired up, and sometimes I talk fast and talk soft. Not usually, but sometimes. Drink a coffee. Verse 12, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lust. Don't let it. Do not present your members as instruments to unrighteousness, to sin. Present yourself to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but you're under grace. It will not have dominion. But it's not because you make I decide right now, I'm going to do it. Humanness. Jesus did this work once for all, gave you his blood as righteousness. You buried with him in baptism. He makes you a new creation. You rise up, and the old man is dead. He's dead. You don't have to believe the Bible. You can believe Dr. Reverend somebody, but I wouldn't do that if I was you. I'd believe this Bible. Paul said it. Likewise, reckon yourself to be dead, indeed to sin, and alive to God. Paul, by the Holy Spirit. So I got to keep reading. Verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? Certainly not. Do not sin. Do you know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that you were, that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you become slaves of righteousness. The only thing I got to do is get your understanding to get the revelation of the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And this whole thing has changed because it's already done. 18, having been set free from sin, you become slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. Every morning, I present myself to you today to walk in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Thank you, Jesus, that it's your righteousness that I'm functioning in. 20. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. There's no fruit in it. It's death. 22. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Chapter 7, verse number 1. I got to keep right on going because I'm running out of time. Do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who are under the law. Now he's going to start dealing with the Jews. That the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives under the law. For the woman who has a husband is bound by law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she's released from the law of her husband. It's a law. So then if while her husband lives, she marries another, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she's free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. I moved right on past all that marriage and death and adultery and all that. I moved past that because we don't have time to get into that tonight. That's another message for another whole day. Hang in there. Ask me a question. We'll grab it on one of these Saturday nights, and that'll be good. Verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. Keep reading. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Old Testament is law. New Testament is Spirit. We are in the New Testament. We have two laws. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And every one of you who are a part of this program on a regular basis, you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I'm a witness. Every one of you that's in front of me right now that I can see your names, I am a witness that you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. All of you that's on Blog Talk Radio with us right now, and your nation is continually there in the list of nations. It is obvious that you're with us continually, regularly. You are of the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and you have the fruit of holiness unto eternal life. I'm a witness, because I can tell you're with us on a regular basis. I'm in verse number 6. Let's read 6 again. But now we have been delivered from the law. Somebody shout hallelujah. The great amen, Brother Roger. The great amen. Been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. Verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire. Don't look up. For apart from the law, sin was dead. I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was to bring life, I found to bring death. Why? The commandment said, do not do it. Did it. Now you got death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it killed me. Therefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Let's keep right on going. We've got to get through this into chapter 8. The headphones work? All right. Who knows? Remember, Sister Rebecca's like, hey, does your volume go down? Always remember this. Anytime something about this program doesn't work on your cell phone or your tablet or your computer, ask yourself the question, when did I turn my cell phone off the last time? And then make sure that if it begins to give you trouble, just turn it off, turn it back on. That resets the cache in your memory, not necessarily in your bank account, but will usually make the process work effectively. All right. Verse 13, verse 7. What shall we say? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except covetous, unless the law said you shall not covet. But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire. The commandment said, don't steal, don't kill, don't. And oh, geez, there I'm guilty. All right? 9. I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was to bring life, I found to bring death. Sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me and by it killed me. 12. The law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. Now, verse 13. Has then what is good become death to me? Now just follow this next couple of verses, because this gets certainly not. Sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. We'll see it. That is sin. That is sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual. I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I'm doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. But remember, Paul's talking about somebody who still has sin dwelling in him. Chapter 6, he's like, sin does not have dominion over you. It's dead. He's not talking about you and I here after that sin is dead. He's putting some more life to the dead. Ready? More words to the dead. Keep reading. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me. But how to perform what is good? I don't find it. You're functioning in your flesh. Keep reading. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I end up doing. Have you ever been there? Verse 20. Now, if I do what I will not do to do, it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. You don't want to do it, but you do. You still got sin in you. Get that man dead. Get the revelation of the word of God that the new birth causes the old man to die. And then you're raised to new life in Christ. Paul said, you are dead. No, the Holy Spirit through Paul said, you are dead unto sin. You're raised and you're dead to it. Keep reading. I find a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. All right? O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Well, once you're born again, you're no longer this wretched man, so he's not talking about a born-again man here. Because you're not a wretch once you're born again. You're a saint. You're a child of God, have become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and that is not a wretched man. Keep reading. Who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Well, everybody hold on a second. There we go. Welcome back. Now, Sister Rebecca, you have to pull down that harness thing over top of you and latch it so you don't get kicked out on the next big curve. Thank you for being here, Rebecca and Dan and Roger and Sunday and our dear, dear friend, Juliana. And then, of course, all of you that we can't see, we welcome you too. Let's keep reading. I'm in Romans 7:25. Look at this. I thank God through Jesus our Lord. So that with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. This is where everybody quotes this verse. But we got to quote the verse because we're doing this verse right. Chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. But there is great condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus and are still sinning. The righteousness he made you into is going to convict you when you sin. You'll be like, whoa. Condemnation comes from the devil, but conviction comes from God. And that conviction says, hey, you're not this person. You're not this person. You're not this person. And you can't get confused by it and say, oh my God, I'm such a mess. No, you have to say, hold it. Jesus, reveal this to me. Help me get this revelation. Help me get it. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation to you. who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, you've been made alive in Jesus, has made me free from the law of sin and death, which is what we just read about in Romans 7, 13 through 25. You're free from it. But not free because of an intellectual process, because you read it and you saw it in the Bible. You're free because God did it, and now you got to get this revelation. Watch what Paul says. Verse 2, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So you're free from it. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement, Jesus' righteousness and his blood, the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, and you're going to fulfill the flesh. Those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit, and you're going to live a Spirit-filled life. But Pastor, I just don't know how to get my mind off the things of the flesh. You've got to meditate these verses until they become a revelation on the inside of you that says you have been made free from the law of sin and death. These verses back here in chapter 6, sin does not have dominion over me. I am not of those sins anymore. The old man is dead. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus, and I have been made into the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Pastor, how do I do this? That's the problem. You're trying to do something to get this, and you don't do something to get it. You receive it, and you become it. You didn't become saved till you received Jesus' work. And it's the same way with his righteousness. Man has said, no matter what you do, you're always going to sin. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Well, I guess that's right, because in trying to do to become righteous, you will always fail. But to receive to become righteous, then from then on you live in great faith and strength and power and Jesus' righteousness. Guys, you've got to study these verses and read these chapters till all of a sudden it gets past all that crusty old religion you've been taught that says it just doesn't matter what I do. Once I'm saved, I'm always saved, and Jesus is just going to accept me into heaven. Except it's not true, because there's five wise virgins and there's five foolish virgins. And the five wise go because they had enough oil, and the five foolish miss it because they didn't bring enough oil. They knew where to go get it, and they went to get it, and when they came back, the door was shut, and they did not get in. Five virgins who were foolish about their Christian life did not get in. Don't be those people. I'm telling you, this is one of the most core, this is the most core important doctrine right next to being born again. The righteousness of faith speaks this way. Romans 10. You believe in your heart. Speak with your mouth. You will be saved and made righteous. And then you can live in Jesus' righteousness, because your nature has been changed to to righteousness, not to sin. Romans 8, 6. I'm going to make it all the way to at least verse 17. Romans 8, 6. For to be carnally minded is death. That's your mind. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Well, how do I switch from being carnally minded to spiritually minded? Renew your mind. Your spirit man is made perfect at one with God. Get your mind to the same place. And most of all, learn to tell your mind to shut up. Because you've been made the righteousness of God. Brain, shut up. We don't think those stuff. Eyes, we don't look at that stuff. Hands, we don't do those things. Feet, we don't go to those places. Greatest sin probably in the last days is going to be the eyes, because it's so easy. They just sit there all day. And what are you doing? Your eyes cause your brain to just go mindless. Oh, that's funny. Ha Ooh, that's bad. Can't believe they put that on there. And is there anything wrong with saying hi to a friend? No. Is there anything wrong with seeing good material? No. But when you do 5 hours of that and 5 minutes of this, it's out of bounds. You will get the reward of 5 hours of this. A brain that's just neutral. But if you spend 5 hours in this, you're going to become one powerful Christian and be able to see signs, wonders, and miracles happen not only in your life and in your family's life, but in everybody around you. You're not going to save your family by scrolling. That doesn't save anybody. You can make a post about righteousness and save somebody, but all that scrolling doesn't save anybody. This is what is able to save men's souls. And the Psalm 25, I believe it is, not sure the verse. Brother Lou is saying it today during our praise and worship time. He was reading it there to us. I think it's Psalm 25 that says, he will deliver your feet from a net. The internet. I love it. I love every big tractor, big truck, awesome motorcycle I can find. But that produces nothing for righteousness for you. This word does. And this doctrine that I'm teaching you right now is the number, well, number one is you must be born again. And number two, you must come to the understanding of the righteousness of faith and how it works in your life. Because if you're still saying, yeah, but Pastor, I don't get it. What do I have to do to be righteous? Receive. It's not about what you have to do. It's about what you receive. When you receive his righteousness, then you will live from it. I got to keep moving. Verse number 7. Wait, verse 6. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's about your mind. The carnal mind is an enemy against God. It's an enemy. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither can it be. Your mind is only as good as what you put in it. Therefore, you have to renew that mind. Renew it to the word and not to gospel preachers preaching. You've got to know what this book says. 8, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh. You're in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Your spirit is made alive because of Jesus' righteousness, not any work that you do. Verse 11, since the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, he that raised Christ from the dead gives life to your mortal body through his Spirit who dwells in you. The Holy Spirit came to live in here, but he can't live. He's not going to stay and live in a filthy temple. He's holy. And when we take ourselves into unholiness, we defile the temple. Dr. Barclay tells the story of a man who committed adultery and came back to Dr. Barclay and said, Pastor, do you think the Holy Spirit will ever come back in me? And he goes, what do you mean come back in you? While you sinned, he was in you. He was in you while you were sinning. Oh, Pastor, don't say that. Yes. Yes, that's how it is. That's why you got to get this revelation. So you get the revelation. Wait, that's not my nature anymore. That ain't me. That ain't me. I say that every day. Whoa, that ain't me. You get away from me. That is not me. That is not me. See, that's how you win that battle. You just get on these verses from Romans 6 and say it. No. And Romans 5 and 6, no, I got the free gift of righteousness. That's who I am. I have the seed of God. That's who I am. I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. That's who I am. The rest of that, that is not who I am. I have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, my Lord. Pause for just a minute. The very Holy Spirit of God lives on the inside of you, giving you life. Why is death still around? Because you focus on the death. You focus on the sin. You focus on the failure. You focus on your past. All we got to do is get your mind renewed to the new being that you are. That's, I'm telling you, do not be discouraged. Just keep saying, I believe what Pastor's teaching. I can see it right here in the Word of God. You gonna tell me that the Holy Spirit of God, who is the most precious, powerful force, holy, clean, righteous on the face of the earth, came to live on the inside of you because you ask him to, and he doesn't have enough power to help you defeat whatever that sin, sickness, poverty, confusion, whatever that is? No, see, that's the doctrines of men that's taught you. You got to be bound by that stuff. No. No, the same Holy Spirit that was hovering over the water in creation is in you. The same Holy Spirit that was empowering Jesus when he was being beaten and crucified on the cross, that same Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. And he most certainly can help you overcome sin or sickness or sorrow or grief. It doesn't matter what it is. He's already overcome it. Verse 11. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, if you're born again, he does. He who raised Christ from the dead also gives life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we're not debtors. We are not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh. You are not bound to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. How are you going to do that? Any man that's in Christ is a new creation. Buried with him in baptism, raised again to new life. See, if you're doing the work in yourself, you get to boast. God, the Holy Spirit said, it's not of works lest a man would boast. So our boasting is in the Spirit of God and in the name of Jesus and in the blood of Jesus and in the righteousness of Jesus. That's how you live above sin. I'm born again. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I have been baptized into the body of Christ. I have been made one with the Father. His blood, his righteousness now lives on the inside of my life. That's how you live. That's how you do it. 15, 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Say it. I am a child of God. Pause. Drink of coffee. Say it. I am a child of God. In Jesus' mighty name. For if you do not receive that, you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together with him. I am a child of God. What's that modern song that's going on right now? I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. It's a good song. You should listen to it. I want you to now go with me to Hebrews. I said that's something. Why am I having trouble with this? Hebrews chapter 5. Wow. Hebrews chapter 5. We are turned the corner, all the way around the barn. We back the hay wagon up, about ready to pull the pin and be finished for tonight. Watch this. Hebrews 5, 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you've come to need milk and not solid food. Now, don't be condemned. No way to be condemned by this. Please hear this verse all the way out for the point the Holy Spirit is making. You might look at yourself. I'm going to go verse 12, Dan, all the way down through six. Eight. Thank you. Hebrews 5, 12 through 6, chapter 6, verse 8. Hebrews 5, 12 through 6, 8. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk, look at this word, is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. Solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, Paul, the writer here, the Holy Spirit is saying to us, you should be a teacher by now. But we got to get this foundation doctrine established in your life. And what is it? The word of righteousness. Chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Here's the elementary principles. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, faith toward God, doctrine of baptisms, the laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Six foundation doctrines. And there's a lot of different teachers out there. Some have eight, some have 10, but it's just how they divide it up. Don't worry about it. You just walk with God and he'll help you get there. Now watch. Let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. So when you're born again, filled with the Spirit, receive the righteousness of God, you're no longer going to be functioning in those dead works. Why? You are dead unto sin. You've been raised to new life unto God. Now, watch what it says here. This we do if God permit. It is impossible for those who once were enlightened, have tasted the heavenly gift, have become partakers of the Holy Spirit, have tasted the good word of God, and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. That's the same verses we read in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29. Hebrews 10, 29. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will be thought worthy of those who trample the Son of God underneath their foot, count the blood of the covenant common, and insult the Spirit of grace by sinning against it? Now, let me encourage you. I don't want anybody freaked out. Listen, this is about revelation. What I just read to you in chapter 5, you don't get this by time at church or by going to every class or by getting the perfect attendance pin or by fixing food for all of the fellowships and funeral dinners. That's not how you get this. You've got to become skilled in the word of righteousness, which is the very second foundation process you've got to get established in your life. It is not my works that cause me to be righteous. It's my work that causes me to receive a crown in heaven. I have to receive Jesus' blood, forgiveness of sin, and the righteousness that I'm going to live in. I have to receive it as a free gift. Because then nobody can brag. Because everybody gets it the same way. It doesn't matter how long you've been in church. There's no value in that. Unless, of course, you've been in church, been born again, been righteous, filled with the Holy Spirit, and doing good works for a crown. There's a lot of people that's been in church their whole life and have never been born again. Don't let that be you. Now, to all of you who are with me on a daily basis, I'm not speaking to you right now. We all know you're born again, and you are filled with the Spirit of Almighty God. But see, here's our challenge. We cannot do what we do as righteousness, as an act of our own will. Because it's not your will that made you righteous. It's not how good you can be. It's not how sweet you can sit and look. All of that is human flesh, and Paul called it filthy rags. It's called the righteousness of faith. I believe God, and it is counted to me for righteousness. And then I get to function in his righteousness, which will always make me holy and correct me at the smallest notice of doing anything out of order that would taint me or my righteousness in any way. It's going to come from the inside out, not because I hand you my manual of my church and say, you better read it or you'll go to hell. See, you can't imagine how many times I've heard that. That's not God. No. Read this, and you get to go to heaven. And you get to do it with great grace and great peace and great strength. Well, we did it. We read Romans chapter 3 all the way through half of Romans chapter 8. And we'll read the other half tomorrow. There's a reason, because I can tell by somebody that's with us tonight, that on the inside of you, you're like, man, this is just seems so foreign to me. That just means one thing. You've not read these verses. You don't know these verses. You know the doctrine that a man gave you. But I have just read to you the holy, living word of Almighty God, inspired by the Holy Spirit from 39 uses of the word righteous, 36 uses of the word righteousness in the book of Romans, and we've just read the majority of them, so that our doctrine will be established in the word of God. And as Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that your doctrine, that your faith would not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God and in the word of Almighty God. Man's doctrine on the other side going to leave you standing wondering, and you don't want that. Now, just in case somebody was offended because I said had a perfect attendance pin, or you fed everybody at all of the fellowship dinners and the funerals and the weddings and all that, I'm not down on those things. It's good to have a perfect attendance pin, as long as you don't wear it around in arrogance and pride. It's good to do all of that work. If you're doing it according to the word of God and righteousness, then Hebrews says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and your labor of love, which you have shown to those in the kingdom. But if you're doing it to be seen, that's a righteousness problem. Like Andrew Womack says, the church decided that the board decided they would give a pin to the most humble man in the church. And they got a big pin that said, I'm the most humble man in the church. And they brought Brother So-and-so up, and Brother Smith, they brought him up and said, you're the most humble man in the church. And when he took the pin from them, they said, except that you accepted that pin, so you're still full of pride. See, this are acts of men, and it's actually foolishness. We have been made the righteousness of Christ God in Christ Jesus. Your old man has been crucified, and now you get to live under righteousness every single day of your life. Let's read that verse one more time, because I love that verse so much. Romans chapter 5. That'd be my last verse. Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, how much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Now that has a few paraphrased words in it, rather than the exact text of the King James or the New King James. But I didn't change the meaning of it at all. I just added the word free, because it's used in 15, and it's used in 16, and it's used in 18, because that's what it is, the free gift of righteousness. In Jesus' name, let's pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, thank you for this amazing revelation in our life tonight. This amazing revelation. We receive it from you tonight, Jesus, every one of us. Father, I declare over every person within the sound of my voice on every one of these series, messages in this series, I declare revelation of your righteousness comes to them in great fullness, and they see it, and they get it, and they grasp it, and it revolutionizes their life. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father, for all of our brothers and sisters that are with us, that are continually streaming with us. I bless them this evening. Thank you that you're building a mighty army right here, the community of faith, that we can go into this world and share the gospel, the good news that you, Jesus, you don't just live in us. You empower us with your righteousness to go into this world and set people free from their unrighteousness by the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Matter of fact, everybody say this with me. Say, I am. Go ahead, Zoomers, you guys can say it. I am a child of God. I am no longer a slave to fear. I am child of God. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Now, it's communion time. Those of you that are with us on a regular basis, we receive communion every night here in our evening program like this, and we want you to receive communion elements with us so that you learn the power of Jesus' broken body and his blood shed. There's a lot of ministries that you only get this once or twice a year, but Jesus said, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Doesn't mean seldom. In my book, often means often. And since we started this program, long before this, I believed in receiving communion every single day, because it reminds us of what Jesus did and the glory of the power that is available to us. Now, how this works here in our ministry is I'm going to read the verses, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 31, and then we, and 1 John chapter 4, then we will pray the prayer of salvation, the prayer of rededication, and then we'll bless the element. I'll give you 2 minutes of instruction. We'll bless the elements, and then we'll receive them together. That is our process. Now, it's different than yours. It's okay. But how they take communion in Moscow is not how they take it in, you know, Dothan, Alabama, in Michigan. It's just different. But it's okay because it's still his body, still his blood, and it's still the word of God in Jesus' mighty name. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Verse number 25. In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's redemptive work, his death, burial, and resurrection till he comes. Verse 28. This is the process. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is right now, so are we in this world. He is the head, and we are the body. He can't function without a body. We can't function without a head. 18. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear and the torment that goes with it, because there is no fear in God's perfect love. There is no fear in love. Now, many people have made communion a very, very, very fearful task. It's holy for certain. It's very holy. It's Jesus' broken body and his blood shed, but it is not fearful. It should be strength and power and courage and blessing to you every single day. Why? Because Jesus did all of this so that sinners can find him, so that his own sheep can walk with him every day, so that the saints will live in glorious, glorious purity and strength. So this is the process. Examine yourself. Examine yourself. Are you in God? Have I been born again? Did I sin? If you sinned, just admit it. Say, Father, I've sinned. I receive now his broken body and his blood shed. That's what the broken body and the blood of Jesus is for sin. So there's, if you've sinned, come to communion. But pray first and examine yourself first. And then let him eat the bread and drink of the cup. Don't run from God. If you sin, run to him. But pastor, what if he finds out? I know he knows. He knows. He sees every act you do. It's written in a book. Some people believe that the great cloud of witnesses see every act that you do. I know. Oh, Jesus, I can't believe it. Oh, it's so shame. Listen, that's going to be you trying to I'm making a decision. I'll never do it again. No, receive his righteousness, and then all that goes away. That's what we're teaching, the revelation. Now, let's pray the prayer of salvation, the prayer of rededication. And no matter who you are, when you pray this prayer from the depths of your heart, from the very depths of your heart, and you mean this, then in the matter of 2 minutes, you will be made whole and you will be made righteous and you will be filled with the Holy Spirit of God and your life is ready to change from darkness to light. Pray this with me right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I need some of my Zoomers to help me out. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every
day. And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting
and
life.
I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
Put your hands out and just say it. I receive you into my life right now.
I receive you into my life right now.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your grace.
All of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
With all the fullness of God.
With all the fullness of God.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understanding the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. And amen. And amen. Now, let me be the first to say, welcome to the family of God. Welcome to the kingdom of God. Welcome, 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 welcome. You are now an heir of God. You have to say words. Nobody even knew you were there.
You were talking. I didn't want to interrupt you. Hi, everybody. Good to see you.
Hello. You're beautiful.
It's
nice
so good to
hear
you. Hear your voice again, Phyllis. We missed you.
Now.
Not as much as I missed you, baby.
Now, for those of you that just prayed the prayer of salvation, you're like, what are these people doing? It's just us. We're just folks here, but come on back. It gets gooder and gooder.
Gooder and gooder.
Gooder and gooder and gooder. Now, you just received sonship. You were just made an heir of God and a joint heir of Jesus. Right there, right then, on the spot, as you prayed, that's the experience you feel on the inside of you. I still, I still get that same experience on the inside of me today. And it's available for us to have it that way. But you and I have to treat it with that level of respect and honor and dignity. We have to, because otherwise, if we consider it as common, then all of a sudden it begins to lose its glory. And that's not about anything else except that we didn't just consider it absolutely wonderful. What just happened? You went from darkness, sin produces darkness, to light. Righteousness produces light. You went from fear, sin bring death, which is fear, to faith, because Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, just came to live on the inside of you right now in your life. Now think about this. You just went from being a mere earthling, bebopping around the earth, trying to find your way, to now being heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. Paul talks about it all through the New Testament. And we just finished reading it a few minutes ago in Romans chapter 8. Welcome to the family. Now, what is your next step? You've got to learn how to appropriate everything I just said to you. It's no different than if I had a $1 million check to write to you. That would be a good thing. How many of you would like a $1 million check?
I would.
I want a $1 million check. But see, that check doesn't do you any good if you don't take it to the bank and do what is necessary to cash it. Now,
amen.
Let me say this to you about your checks. If you get a $5 check, that ain't no big thing to cash at the local bank. What are you going to say? Endorse the back and hand it to me. You got proof of who you are? But if you got a $1 million check, you're going to have to get a little bit more of endorsement about who you are. You're going to have to answer a few more questions about a $1 million check. Well, I got a word for you. What just happened to you is worth a whole lot more than $1 million. So to learn how to appropriate everything I just taught tonight, and you ready for this? Everything that just happened to you in the matter of 2 minutes is now going to take you the rest of your lifetime of studying to show yourself approved unto God. And that's what we're here for. And that's what this program is here for, to help you walk with God. The name of the program is Establishing Your Faith. You becoming established in the Word of God, which will build faith. Here's the simple thing. You start tomorrow morning when you wake up. And you're laying there in your bed. Before you put your feet out on the ground, pause and say, Heavenly Father, thank you that I've been born again, filled with your Holy Spirit, and I have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And tell him thank you. And then say, Father, help me walk with God all day long. At first, you may not hear him speak to you, but he is. You just don't have your spirit, soul, and body focused in on finding where that voice is at on the inside of you, because it comes from within. He's in here. Ask him all day long for his help. He'll help you. When you go to bed at night, every night, lay there in that bed, look up at that ceiling before you go to sleep and say, Father, how did I do today? I don't know how long it'll be. It could be the very first time you say that. You will know on the inside that he'll say, you did good. And you'll be like, wow, God just communicated with me on the inside of my being. Yep. And that's what he wants to do every day, all day long.
Amen.
See, I'm not training you how to be a community of faithite. That doesn't do me any good. You'll get that automatically just by listening to me teach. What I've got to get you to do is to walk with God, because I can't be where you are. Right now, I could be where Sister Leanne is, or she could be where I am. I like it when she's where I am. I do. Yes.
I like it when you're there, too.
All right. Well, then hurry up and get there. Mm-hmm. But see, the Father's with you 24/7, 365. And that's my place and our place here as your brothers and sisters to show you how to get to him every day. We learned the other night, we've been down here for, what did we say, 932 days?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. 934 now. So we have 934 videos you could study. Just because we've been faithful to do the work of God. And you can grow listening to any of them. It don't matter which one it is you listen to, you will grow in God. Because it's the same open forum that we have right here of learning to walk with God. I'm just gone to preaching. I said 2 minutes of instruction, and I think that was probably eight, right?
15.
That was not 15. Now, let's receive our communion elements together. Get you some grape juice and bread. And I encourage you, be very specific about this. God has an order. And the more of the order that you have, the greater of his presence that you enjoy. And we've been worshiping the last 5 days with the communion, Colorado communion. We've been worshiping. And this is a service, a communion service that lasts 7 hours. It lasts 4 hours before they receive the communion. When you begin at the beginning of this and you follow it all the way through, it's a communion service like you've never been a part of. But what is Brother Engel following? He's following the biblical plan of how communion should be done. And so I encourage you, get you some bread, get you some grape juice, and let's follow in the steps of Jesus that he told us to do, and it'll make it more meaningful. Pray this with me right now. I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace.
The chastisement for my peace.
Is upon you, Lord.
Is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes I am healed.
And by your stripes I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
Spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint supplying in my body.
Every joint supplying in my body.
From your broken body, Jesus.
From your broken body, Jesus.
In the body of Christ and my community.
In the body of Christ and my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's receive his broken body together tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your broken body that gave us access to become part of the body of Christ. And now we lift up the cup of blessing the blood of Jesus. Pray this with me. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
The most powerful cleansing force on the face of this earth.
The most powerful cleansing force on the face of this
earth. I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation with my Father.
By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation with my Father.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission.
In my life forever.
In my life forever.
I love it. By the blood of Jesus, I'm a new creation.
By the blood of Jesus, I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away and all things have become new.
Old things have passed away and all things have become new.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
You know what I just saw?
Hmm.
I just saw Brother James Denny receiving communion with us many times as we did this.
Yeah.
It's interesting that I would just see that, but it's all right to see that.
It is. Hallelujah.
And now he's running around in heaven somewhere. Mm-hmm. Wow. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne of God.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne.
Because
of God.
Father said to come there, to the throne of God. I find grace, mercy, and help.
I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
The accuser of the brethren is destroyed every time.
The accuser of the brethren is destroyed.
And there's no more condemnation in my life.
And there's no more condemnation in my life.
By the blood of Jesus, every plague has to pass over.
By the blood of Jesus, every plague has to come.
Pass over. And cannot be on me or my family.
And cannot be on me or my family.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be.
And I will always be.
The glorious church.
The glorious church.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Let's receive his blood shed. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. And then the Bible says, and then they sang a hymn and went out. Are we going out for pizza or burgers?
Pizza.
You ready? Let's sing a song about the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Thank you for your blood, dear Jesus. Thank you for your blood, dear Jesus. Thank you for your blood, dear Jesus. It washes white as snow. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Amen.
Amen.
And hallelujah. And glory be to God.
I see our Dan and Sunday over here. Who's on Zoom?
Who's on first?
Yeah.
I don't know. Is on second.
He said hi to Phyllis, but I don't know who else is.
Brother
over
Phyllis?
There.
I mean, Brother Phyllis. Brother Joshua.
Hi, Brother Joshua.
I received that as a prophetic utterance. Brother Roger.
Roger.
And Brother Dan is with Sister Phyllis on Zoom.
Goodness. I see Dan on YouTube.
Dan is doing double duty tonight, and he did a good job.
He really did a good job. Did you see the verse list?
Oh, he did. He did a great job tonight. Now, Sister Phyllis, you ready to read Book of Jude for us?
Is Rebecca here?
Rebecca was here most of the night, and she kept getting bounced out. I actually told her to strap that seatbelt on a little tighter. Here we go. Book of Jude. And you, beloved, building up yourself in your most holy faith. I like this. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Keeping yourself in the love of God. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keep yourself in the love of God. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. On some, now this is you helping others have compassion, making a distinction. Others, save with fear, hating even the garments defiled by the flesh. Verse 24, this is the doxology part. Now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen and amen. Now, I want to read that last one out of the Amplified 24 and 25. Now, unto him who is able to keep you without stumbling or slipping or falling, present you blemished, blameless, and faultless before the presence of his glory. In triumphant joy and exultation, with unspeakable ecstatic delight. Of course, standing in front of the throne, and he says, well done. Unspeakable ecstatic delight is going to happen. 25, to the one and only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, splendor, majesty, might, dominion, power, and authority. For all time, and now and forever, unto all the ages of eternity. Amen. So be it. Only a woman could write like that. All right. Now, Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, firstborn from the dead. And the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Those kings of the earth are not King Charles and whoever else might be a king. It's you and I. Verse 6, and he has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen and amen,
amen
and amen. I've done lost everybody. I'm clicking on things. I've no idea. Where did you guys all go? There you are. And now, one more thing to do. You ready? Let's cinch the net. Put your hands out and say this with me. I sold my time, talent, and treasure.
I sow my time, talent, and treasure.
Into the kingdom of God right here.
Into the kingdom of God right here.
And I declare in Jesus' name.
And I declare in Jesus' name.
That everyone who heard us tonight. Will receive this message with great joy.
Will receive this message with great joy.
And great faith.
And great faith.
I declare in Jesus' mighty name. That all of the hundredfold return. That our work and effort accomplished today.
Comes to me tonight.
So that we can preach the gospel. All over this world, wherever you send us.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Now, Brother Dan, Sister Phyllis, and Brother Roger, do not go anywhere. Okay, I want to talk to you guys afterwards.
What about Sunday?
Well, Sunday too, but I'm going to close down Blog Talk Radio and YouTube. And I said that to you last night, and then I hit the button and just shut everything off. Or hit the wrong button.
You kicked me off last night.
No, I didn't kick nobody off. I kicked everybody off. I hit the wrong end button, and then, of course, as soon as you hit it, it just, everything goes away.
You should have seen the look on his face.
Yeah, you should have seen the look on my face. It was choice. Blog Talk Radio, thank you for being with us. Remember this, I say to you all the time, if you want this in your native language, I can help you get this translated into your native language. And that way people in your nation that may not be able to speak or hear English would be able to be blessed, and we'll be a blessing to you. Send us a picture. My email address is right there. We want to know who you are. Show us a picture of what it looks like when you are listening to the program, unless, of course, you're listening to it in the bathroom, in the bathtub. Don't send us that picture. Listen to us another time and send us that picture. We call you blessed in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. All of our friends over on YouTube, Juliana and Sister Sunday.
Juliana's here.
Yeah, Mary Pastor Rick, Brother Dan, Sister Kathy Angaroni, all of our friends that come by here. And I want to say, James Denny Jr., I command you in the name of Jesus, get back here.
Yes.
If you need somebody to give you permission to come back from heaven, it is me. Come back from heaven in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Somebody's like, has that actually happened, Pastor? Yeah, it has. A lot of stories of that. We bless you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. We will be on the Zoom for those of you on YouTube. Come and see us.